Hi, One Bad Mother listeners. It's me, Biz. Would you like to meet your neighbors? Yes, you would. Guys, the network that our show is on, Max Fun, is throwing a virtual block party from now until October 22nd, and you are invited! Woohoo! During block party, Max Fun shows are releasing episodes that are especially welcoming to new audiences, like this one that you are listening to right now. So, if you've been encouraging a friend to try out our show, this is the perfect episode to share with them. It's also a great time to check out shows you've been curious about, since they're releasing episodes geared towards new audience members, too. Block Party also has games, recommendations, a volunteer event, and a limited edition poster and more. Find out more about all that fun stuff at MaximumFun.org/blockparty. Tell your friends and definitely keep an ear out for the One Bad Mother, Just the Zoo of Us block party episode. Good to know. Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
Due to the pandemic, we bring you One Bad Mother straight from our homes, including such interruptions as children, animal noises, and more. So let's all get a little closer while we have to be so far apart. And remember, we are doing a good job. This week on One Bad Mother, you came dressed as a witch too? Ah! We talk mortifying Halloweens with Neil Catcher of Mortified. Plus, Biz caught a Pokemon!
Well, here it is. It's a check-in. Sorry, I should have started that with a woo. Here we go.
Woo!
Biz, I am... I don't know. We were all settled. We had everything going. The 2.5-year-old was finally back in daycare. She had been there a whole week, her first daycare experience. Thursday is when my child is supposed to start grade one. So this was going to be the first week where I have both of my kids out of my house for the entire day, for the entire week. And this has not happened since the pandemic started in March 2020. And guess what? After one whole fucking week of daycare, we have a cold in the house. The 2.5-year-old has her first cold in forever. Mm. And so she had to go get a COVID test today. And now we have to wait until she has no symptoms and a negative test to send her back. And we can't send her sister to school until that happens either. So now I'm fucking back at square one, stuck with my kids at home again, trying to work with no childcare because I got rid of all of our in-house childcare. Because we set up all these out-of-house childcare solutions. Mm. Oh, so there it is. We've circled all the way back around.
Yeah.
And now it just sucks again. Sucks all over. Probably harder this time, but maybe I'm just empty and used to it now. Thanks for the show, guys. Take care.
Yeah. It comes full circle. Like, that's it. You put it into words. I think what I've been trying to yell about for months now, that it's not a return to normal. It's just a carousel of what if. That's what it is. A carousel of don't go counting your eggs in your basket. It's a carousel of vomit, maybe. Maybe that's it. The constant carousel of anxiety-inducing nausea. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm really sorry. I know. Yeah, you send the kid to preschool and they come back. We all know they're going to come back with a cold. We all know it. We all know that's normal. And if it was normal times, whatever the fuck that means, it would be like no big deal. You'd be like, cold, whatever. Sniff, sniff, back to school. And now it's like, I have to prove it's not COVID. And then you have to deal with tests and getting schools to recognize that it's just a normal sick kid. I love that we're at a place now where we're like, just take my normal sick kid, right? Like, fine, I'll keep the COVID at home, but can you take my normal sick kid? You're doing a really good job and you're not crying. So I think that's a win for where you are. And you're also for sure not alone. We could literally do a show in which call after call is just people calling in with this very situation happening in some form. But you're the lucky winner who got to be played on air. So we can all commiserate with you. You are doing a good job. Speaking of doing a good job, It's time for thank yous. I want to thank medical workers. My mama, who is out here now, just had to be in the hospital for a few days, and I was keenly aware of not only hurling thank yous left and right at people working in the hospital, but also just really sitting in that place of, I have to sit here so I can focus on my mom and not focus on any concerns I might have about risks. And I have to trust that people are cleaning and, following COVID protocols and all of that. And it really felt like they were. And sure, I was bummed out that I couldn't spend the night and that I couldn't come at like 8 o'clock in the morning and that I had like very limited windows of time. But I also understood that. And I just thank you. And thank you to the volunteers who are there signing people in. If you're letting visitors in, that was quite an undertaking I witnessed at the hospital where my mom was at. So she is fine. She is home and all is well. And that is entirely due to the care of all of the people working in the hospital, from the people who checked her in to the ER, to the doctors and nurses and RNs and the people who assist those people. And I mean, really, I see you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who gets vaccinated, that can get vaccinated. That is why it was okay that my mom was in the hospital because we happen to be in an area of California in which we have a really high vaccination rate, and that makes things a lot safer and easier. So thank you to everybody who continues to go out and get vaccinated or volunteer to vaccinate others or just to help stop the spread of disinformation. You're wonderful. Thank you. Teachers, I love you. I love you so much. I love all of you teachers. Librarians, I love you. I love all the people who work in the travel industry that are keeping those spaces safe. Everybody, you're working so hard at keeping spaces safe, and I see you, and I appreciate you, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of safe spaces, this is a safe space for me to tell you that there's a 99.9% chance I'll be a fucking mom witch again this year for Halloween. I know you're all like, no, Biz, say it isn't so. And I'm going to say it is so because once again, I have put very little, it's like that moment where somebody says, your kids are gone for an hour. What are you going to do? Everything just goes blank. What are you going to be for Halloween? Blank. Just completely void of ideas. I can't think of anything. So, again, more than likely, I'm going to be witch, which is a little disappointing. But Ellis knows what they want to be, and they want to be a Pokemon. Ellis would like to be a Mewtwo EX. These are just sounds that I'm making, but they mean something to Ellis, who wants to be it for Halloween. It is, essentially a purple bodysuit with like a big wraparound tail that's a slightly different color that reaches up in front of the crotch area. I'm like, we could go the hoodie route. Like, I saw some really cute, like, purple sweatpants and the hoodie. We could sew the stuff out. And he's like, nope. And I'm like, I have to spend another Halloween squeezing my children into weird bodysuits because that's what we had to do last year. But you know what? I'm not making anything until next weekend because I know how this goes. There will be a change. There will be a change to what somebody wants to be for Halloween. And I will have spent too much time working on something just for it to not be worn. So there is that. So, yeah, I've got to come up with a weird, I personally think, mortifying-looking costume for Ellis to wear. And I'm just going to be a sad mom witch again. So I think that ties in nicely to what we're going to talk about today, which is mortifying Halloween moments with our good friend Neil Ketcher of Mortified and the New Kids podcast. Ooh, you're in trouble.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
This week, I am so excited to welcome back Neil Ketcher, who is the co-creator of the legendary storytelling podcast, Mortified. And you may remember he was on the show recently where we talked to him about his new kids podcast, Ooh, You're in Trouble, which is now in season 2 from Trax and PRX. Welcome back, Neil.
Thanks for having me back.
It's so nice to have you back. And it hasn't been that long, but just for fun, who lives in your house?
Oh, who lives in my house?
Anything change?
Yes, actually, probably since the last time. We're not pregnant or anything.
Okay.
I don't remember if this was the case last time, but I do. It's still my wife and my son, who's okay. Now 9. And we have, and you might hear her, we have a puppy around the house. I don't know if that was on the last time.
I don't remember.
Sadie is around somewhere.
Her name's Sadie?
She's a little golden doodle.
Oh.
And so if she might make some noise, because I've already established a very strong codependent relationship with her. And so there's a highly likelihood that she will butt in at some point, and you might even see her.
Oh, the whole show will stop.
If you can all listen really closely at home, you will see her.
Okay. If you... That's right. Oh, for sure. All right. Well, Halloween. Everybody knows this is my favorite time of year. And I, you know, when you were here last time, we could have probably just kept talking. And now I'm glad that we took a break so that we could talk about Halloween, because I love it. And I just feel like there's so much that goes hand in hand with like Halloween, childhood, and really embarrassing yourself and or experiencing a mortifying moment. So I'll set up with this story. I want to start by talking about costumes when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go into what our kids want to be. But for me, there was one year I was going to go as Pat Benatar. Okay. I was going to be Pat Benatar, and I did not have, I guess, friends, because there was no one going trick-or-treating with me. But my sister and her friend, who were quote-unquote too old to trick-or-treat, were going to take me around and be my backup singers. All right, so now imagine shiny, like that shiny material, some sort of shiny material, like, you know, off the shoulder, you know, fabric that just, you cut a giant hole in it. So it was like off the shoulder, like over a leotard. Probably some leg warmers and like some sort of cool, short, spiky haircut. And every house I went to, they were like, Peter Pan. And I was like, I'm Pat Benatar. And that was mortifying.
How old were you when you did this?
32. I don't know.
Well, there's probably
like
other details that would make that situation mortifying.
I got to think. It's got to be, so we were still in Tuscaloosa. We were still in that house. Like, I'm going to say I was probably somewhere in that 9, 10, 11, like, window.
Hmm.
So,
I think that's an awesome outfit. And I think the fact that people didn't get it is a bigger critique on the houses you are going to than on you.
Thank you. That's very kind.
I will say that I had a situation from when I was roughly the same age that is definitely not a critique on my neighbors, but absolutely a critique on myself, because it is really unfortunate. Like, I was not great at Halloween costumes.
Okay.
This was not a strong suit of mine. My mom was actually an art teacher, and so she actually did really good things with costumes for a bunch of years, mostly for my sister, who was older than me. Where they would do things with cardboard and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we're tired as parents by the time the second kid rolls around. I'm like, your toothpaste. Here's some toothpaste. Go ahead.
I also just think that for some reason, even as a kid, and my son is this way too, as a when he was really young, even to this date, comfort's such an important issue that it trumps any creativity. It trumps everything. And for me, it's like the idea, even as like an 8-year-old, of walking around in cardboard with holes in it, like, sounds good for about 3 minutes. And then I'd be like, where are my sweatpants? This is not working. So even now you can see sweats.
I'm wearing your sweatshirt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is so cold right now in LA. But so when I was about 9 years old, so I was roughly the same age as your amazing Pat Benatar outfit, which, trust me, this will not beat. So in my family, my mom and I were the ones who would watch comedy stuff that was probably more age appropriate, but things that my mom liked.
Yeah, sure.
But at the same time,
did you go as Jonathan Winters?
Oh, that would have been been amazing. But if you go as Jonathan Winters, who do you go as?
Yeah, I know. You
because
don't
he
really...
does like 80 different voices.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That would be a very manic costume.
That would, true. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I was thinking age appropriate.
So for me, age appropriate at that point might have been like Pee Wee Herman or like, you know, I think I was probably into the Pink Panther movies and that kind of stuff. But this was not that.
No. What was it?
Because I went as something comedically inspired with something that I watched with my dad. Now, my dad had a different sense of humor.
You're killing me.
Either liked corny jokes, which is a good dad thing.
Yeah.
Or he was in a couple of men's lodges, even though he was like this very, very smart, very PC for his time period.
Sure.
Biology teacher, like,
I just assume men's lodges are like actually cults. Like, they're like Peggy Sue Got Married. Like, they're like, they sometimes hang out, but then they also can like manifest time travel.
I think you're thinking more Freemason type stuff.
Yeah,
this is my dad was in the lodges that are a little bit more like honeymooners lodges. Is that helpful? Like the
did he
moose,
have a hat? The big moose. Really?
He did not have a hat, but they did have plaid sports coats.
Well, that's
which
something.
Is
that's
something.
Something. All right.
So, but my dad had this sort of sense of humor that I think I associate with that world, which was what I would call traveling salesman sense of humor.
Okay.
We even had all the Truly Tasteless books. Remember the Truly Tasteless joke books?
Yes.
We had all of those. And so my dad and I did the one comedy show we bonded over is a show that, like, I'm almost afraid to tell you what show it is.
Is it Benny Hill?
Yes.
Ah! I've been sitting here sitting on Benny Hill the entire time. I've been like, is it going to be Benny Hill? Because Benny Hill, if you guys don't know, that was essentially like a weird soft porn comedy. Like, I want to say a PBS show, but I'm pretty sure.
If Charlie Chaplin was a pervert.
Yes,
then that's Benny Hill.
That's what it is.
A lot of like misdirection jokes were like, "Oh, are those boobs?" No, that's a bald guy's head.
Yeah, head.
A lot of chasing around. A lot of
bikini chases. No, I watched a lot of Benny Hill. All right, so who were you?
Well, I was Benny Hill.
Benny Hill.
So I'm a 9 year old going around from house to house. This adorable 9 year old, I guess, showing up, going house to house in third grade. And people would be like, "Ooh, who are you? Are you like a hobo or whatever?"
Right.
Can you say hobo anymore either?
I don't know.
But it actually sounds, anyways, hobo almost sounds like a chic word now. But
I know.
They would say, I'd say, no, I'm not.
Why don't we say tramp?
Tramp. Okay. They'd ask if I was a tramp.
Yes.
Which actually also has... No, see, that doesn't work.
See, that doesn't work.
Let's just say
you,
I was...
Did they say, are you lost?
Yeah. And I would say, no, I'm Benny Hill. And indignantly, by the way, indignantly.
Oh, indignantly.
Like really upset that they were getting this wrong.
I agree.
Similar to you.
Yes.
And they would look at me like, what is wrong with him? What is wrong with his parents? Mm. How are they letting this 9-year-old, A, watch Benny Hill, B, go around to every house and announce that in their house, family viewing hour is the Benny Hill show.
I didn't know until this moment that I have wanted to hear a story just like that. That somebody dressed up as Benny Hill in, the days of long ago when perversion was just something we all looked back on and laughed. I actually think that's remarkable. And I would have been indignant too. And the big difference between then and now is now I still don't think people would have said, what's wrong with you? Now we like to jump right to what's wrong with his parents. They're showing, right? Like that's the new way to do it. Well, I think that's impressive. Did you ever have like any other, like I remember one of our favorite family stories is my sister in this like doll dress with a doll. And like, she and Mary Jo Belk were out trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. And they go up to this house that is a very big hill. And as they come back down, she trips and slides down the hill. And in doing so, slides right through dog shit. And we have only just started the rounds. Okay. She and Mary Jo Belk and my mother have just started the rounds of the neighborhood. And, you know, Helen Michelle, speaking of indignant, that seems to be a theme, was like, I have put too much effort into this costume. I'm sure I'm going to be corrected on this story by my sister at some point in time. But for me, as the younger sibling, I just remember Helen Michelle walked around with dog shit on her and reveled in it, right?
That's pretty odd. That's brave.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't smell good. And
no, it doesn't.
When you think of Halloween, the thing you think, I think one of the high value targets are little chocolate bars.
Tootsie and Rolls.
Even more accurate.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like wanting chocolate from house to house and smelling like poop. It just takes the whole thing out of it.
It will definitely cause an association. It's like the time that I sat in a hot tub and drank orange juice and vodka, and that is a bad idea. And I was also definitely underage on some beach trip and definitely was like, wow, being hot, sweaty, drinking like shitty vodka and orange juice just made me like forever the smell of like vodka. Like, I still won't drink that. I still can't drink it. Still can't drink it, but I can eat Tootsie Rolls.
But I will just say that's brave on two different levels, story. Yes. One is, well, you've got the whole thing of everybody in that moment going, does somebody smell shit? Like, and just constantly do it. Yep. That's one problem.
Yep.
The second problem is, how old were you?
This wasn't me. It was my sister.
No, I know, but how old?
She was probably, I'm going to say like 8, 9, because if I wasn't out with them.
That is a bad age to be doing that, because that's the kind of stuff that follows you around.
Oh, follows you for
not just on the trick-or-treating trail, but for the next several years. Like, she could become the shit girl for years.
Strawberry. She was a baby doll. Strawberry shit cake. That would be one.
Sure. I mean,
you could do that. What's another doll? Betsy Wetsy.
Well, there's the what's the other one? The Holly
Apple.
Hobby. I don't know what Holly Hobby would have been.
The Apple Dumpling Gang. Thank you.
What's the Smurfette joke you would?
Oh, you could do
the pun.
I feel like I'm being quizzed. Let's see.
Turdette.
Turdette's pretty good. Papa Turd.
Papa Turd is
Papa
perfect.
Papa Turd, thanks.
Because it's got double. It's got a lot going on in it.
Oh, I know. You're really sitting it. You can really sit in it. All right.
So I actually have some questions.
Okay. Based
on this.
Okay.
Because of my own un-PC years of dressing up.
Sure, we all, everybody.
Well, it's still happening. Like, I feel like we're much more aware of like things nowadays, but there's been the last couple of years of costumes for Henry have been really interesting.
Because it's
brought up some conversations. And I think that, I think this year I'm actually proud of it this year, but Henry was the one who brought up questions about it. So he was very excited to get a Black Panther costume.
Oh,
super excited.
Very
and then
nice.
Something happened with him talking with his friends where he came home and he's like, I don't know if I can wear the Black Panther costume.
That's right.
Ooh!
There is that moment where your kid starts to have the conversation without you,
mm-hmm.
which I think actually is a really great moment. Yeah, that's no, I don't think I like any of my reactions to this story.
Well, I mean, I think I was like, oh, wait, is that okay? Like,
that
I actually
had
a minute where I had to consider this. It's not cultural appropriation if it's a Marvel movie, right?
Well, like, right, but...
And the part where I came down was like, this is okay, not okay, but actually really good, is that I want him to have heroes that are from that represent all walks of like all ethnicities and all sexualities and genders. So for me, it's like, do it. Like, that's great.
I want
Black Panther to be your hero.
Yes. I fucking love Black Panther. But you wouldn't, the difference between then and now is wearing the Black Panther costume is not going to be like 20 years ago or longer ago. It would have been, here's your Black Panther costume. Now we're going to paint your face black as well.
Exactly.
Right? Like that's the moment. That's the line where you're like, oh, I would never even consider that. Like being Black Panther is fine. 'Cause it is a superhero. Being Black Panther in blackface is not fine. There you go. All right, we've come to it.
Well, that seems very, like, stark. I feel like there must be something in between those two options.
Nope.
No, okay.
Nope,
okay.
That's it.
But so then last year, though.
Yeah. What's the history of the costume?
Henry didn't have an issue with last year, but I ended up having questions that remained unresolved to this day, which is he decided to go as a ninja.
Yeah. Okay, like
now, not a specific ninja, just a ninja.
Just a ninja.
See, if it was a more specific ninja, where like it's Ninjago or
Ninja.
Or something, then I'd be like, because I don't think there was a specific character that he could find or whatever. So, or maybe it was like a ninja costume, but for some character he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He just really liked the ninja costume. So, it was one of those things where they came home with it. My wife and they went shopping for Halloween stuff and came home. And I was like, ninja, and I didn't think anything at first.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it. And then we were doing, I think we did Halloween with one of the families we were doing Halloween with where they were Japanese.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had a moment where I was like,
is this okay?
Can I say that he's a ninja? Like he's a ninja, like a specific ninja? I don't know, but I didn't feel like it was appropriate to have I didn't even know how to have that conversation. I just thought to myself, this is a little weird and maybe wrong.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking it's wrong.
That is definitely just focus on that and making sure that that's great because your kid's going to grow up like 20 years from now. And hopefully, like many of us who were like, oh, do you remember when everybody used to be, for example, hobos, all right? Where it's like, I don't think that's look at that was a time when people were not focusing on the homeless crisis that like faces, it was like based on, you know, cartoons from the Depression.
Where it gets tricky is like, I don't know if we want to get philosophical, but if you start going into sports teams.
Well, okay.
So like certain sports teams, the name is absolutely horrible. Like the Redskins, that was terrible.
Correct.
But then you have names that are specific to a job within a culture. Mm. And you start to wonder if that's an issue. It's sort of like a cowboy is like a job or a type of something in America, like in an old American culture.
Right.
And that seems okay because it's like a specific, that guy's a cowboy.
It's like a character.
He's doing cowboy things.
Yeah, it's a character of a type, right? Like cowboy.
Right, but if you're just sort of like, you know, I can't be like, I'm going as a Jew this year.
Yeah.
I could say that. I'm Jewish, so I could say that.
Yes, I know. You can say that. Right.
But like, doesn't make sense. Could I go as a Hasidic? I mean, probably not. I probably shouldn't.
Probably
shouldn't. But you know, as a kid, I'm sure that was an idea of mine.
Right. Well, or like back in the day, you know, I remember there were like a lot of priest costumes. Like somebody would show up at a party, mm-hmm, you know, slightly right. older as a priest, right? Like, I think.
But you can do that, right? You could do priest because
who
it's.
Who wants to be a fucking priest? Well, that's more of a. Terrifying.
Well, nowadays, you definitely want to go. It's really, it's a packed with imagery, packed with too many ideas. But you could go as a rabbi. I could go as a rabbi.
I just like. Could I? I like being in the land now of. If can I make that noise.
But can I go as drunk rabbi?
What if you went as just like a very
drunk
specific,
rabbi at a eulogy at a funeral?
Or like if you went, like if I could go as like Father Sarducci from Saturday Night Live, which is like a okay. character being a character being.
But you'd have a lot of explaining to do because there's only so many people who are going to go, oh, Guido Sarducci.
This could be your year to be Benny Hill because no one would know who That's the fuck true. That was. But I feel like there's like the mortifying thread that we get to bask in right now is that awkwardness of like the things that were acceptable when we were kids. And, you know, I'm just going to have to lean into most of us had no baggage with it. Right. And it wasn't right. like, you know, no one in the house was like, you know, here's my giant long list of how I hate every type of person. Now dress up as that person and we're going to mock them open. It was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to put a scarf on my head. And now I'm, you know, a gypsy fortune teller, right? Like it didn't come from a place of malice.
Correct.
Now we have a better understanding of what we don't have to do. What's not like, you don't have to go there. You don't have to do it. Simultaneously, there is the wonder of Halloween and getting to be something else, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I think that's sort of where those questions come up as parents, like when, like, for example, you know, if my kids want to wear, in this house, it's more, they've picked a costume, it's probably anime, and there's probably something about the uniform that looks like you're wearing underpants on top of tights, right? Where I'm like, right. as a seasoned adult, I'm like, I don't know if you want to walk out in the world like that, right? Like,
right.
that seems like the kind of thing that you wear. And then a name gets attached. And then you're the booger eater the rest of your life. I'm just using booger eater as a general term that can follow you for right. a long time. Where I want to step in and be like, are you sure? But then I'm like, I shouldn't because this is authentic costume and that means something for anime people, right? Like I think there's something about Halloween and having to decide as a parent, like what you're okay with in general about your kid walking out. I mean, it would be great if all kids were like, I'm a library book. Like, that'd be great. Like, there's nothing wrong with that unless you're overdue.
But I feel like that's the kind of costume that would give you a name.
Oh, the library book kid?
You don't want to be the book. I mean,
the book.
You could be like a back in the day, that would have been great because you could have been the sort of literal version of Encyclopedia Jones.
It was Encyclopedia Brown.
Oh, right. Which we have.
I know. Sorry. All right. Well, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you remember, because you've alluded to this threat of a costume following you throughout your developmental years, can you think of, like, did you know a kid who was like we have a list of those. Like, we've got the, you know, growing up in the Deep South and the girl who came to my sister's Halloween party dressed as Eve, and she was just, like, in the full, like, you know, opaque bodysuit with a snake wrapped around her, and that was, like, you know, puberty was hitting in, right? So that was, everybody was very excited about that. But like, or the kid who always had like the really weird costume or the scary cot. Like, obviously there were always kids that you were like, that's a little too on the nose in terms of like it feeling like you're sort of getting to release some inner demon.
Well, it's true. There is always at least one kid in every... even when Henry had, when he was really young and you have those, you know, the class parades mm-hmm. where they're all doing the costume, no matter what setting it is, whenever you have a group of kids in costumes, there's always one kid that you see them in their costume and they look a little psychotic and you're a little afraid of them and you're worried about your kid's safety in the midst of their presence. It's crazy. It's always happens.
Yeah, there's
that
always
someone
that...
is just a little too Halloween.
I agree. And then I will say that I was not prepared for how nervous teens made me during trick-or-treating. The teens come and they are terrifying in their costumes. I've already talked about how weird tweens are these days. They just look like a big molting mass of puberty. But the teens for Halloween, they have the like, I am not a fan of the scream face. I like
no,
the scream movies.
No, I don't
movies.
Like that either.
I like the movies, but I'm not a fan of like kids in where I can't see their faces.
Right.
And then I feel like I'm just like a little old lady with like a hose who wants to like, get off my lawn. Like,
So I'm easily scared even to this day. Oh, and good. So there's an aspect of Halloween that I dread. But anyone who's dressing in a scary costume over the age of 11 or 12 is invariably going to scare me. I spent many years as in a like in previous years in LA with one of my friends. His big thing is he, as an adult, as with kids coming to the house, he dresses up as Mike Myers. He puts on the music.
Jesus.
He puts on the light. He does a lighting thing.
Yeah.
And he has someone else hand out the candy.
Oh, God.
And
That's
he comes
good.
From around the corner.
That's good.
And doesn't say a word and just approaches. And he's very tall and big. He's a big dude.
Big guy.
And he's made me the decoy.
Oh.
Where I'm the normal person sitting there on the rocking chair playing the fiddle, whatever it is, right? And he has scared some kids to death.
Oh, yeah.
Like where they run away scared, like crying. And I'm like, he thinks it's great because he loves Halloween.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, this is horrible.
Oh, yeah.
This is terrible what you're doing. Like,
well,
these kids.
Lesson learned. Don't come to that house.
Yeah, I guess. People have different ideas of Halloween.
It's true.
Then he found out from that there was another Mike Myers in the neighborhood who was like who was on top of their own roof. Ooh. And it became like a whole thing where they had to have a showdown.
Oh, that's good.
But I had to stay and do the candy. So I didn't get to see that, but
you had to stay and do the candy. Are you a fan of walking the kids or doling out the candy?
I'm not as big. So when Henry was young, he was allergic to everything.
Oh.
So one of the things he was allergic to was peanuts, of course.
Yeah, that's.
And I would say that it really ruins Halloween.
Oh.
Because every single person we would go up to when he was a kid, like every house.
Yeah.
We'd be like, I can't, does it have nuts? Like,
just
it's the most neurotic Halloween ever. And it just ruins it. Are there nuts? Are there nuts?
Are there nuts?
And like, put it back. You can't have it.
Do you have raisins? We'd like the raisins.
Do you have any apples?
Now that is a good point.
But I don't. So I didn't. I did some of that when he was younger. Now he would really be embarrassed if I walked around with him.
See,
they got to do it on their own now.
Oh, I love it. I think my oldest, who's 12, now they've always had like a little pack, and they go out. And we release them into the neighborhood. I mean. It's there's two like massive streets on either side. I mean, it's so California, but they can go around up and down our streets, which gets you plenty of candy. There's always the one house that's like, oh, is there trick or treating? And they just throw in like adult size Snicker bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is for mama. But they like, so we let them out. But this year, like Raiden, the artist formerly known as Katie Bell, Raiden says, maybe I'm too old for Halloween. And I was like, when you get too old for Halloween, let me tell you how to work that. You take your brother around for Halloween and then you get candy. That's how you still get candy, but keep your cred as an older, as like a kid too old to trick or treat. This is what you have to do.
That's smart. When I was a kid, I sort of realized I needed to stop trick or treating. I don't remember how old I was. It was probably like middle school. I walked around as like a 12 or 13 year old, and I just didn't even put any effort into the costume. And I was just like walking around with like, I think a hockey jersey on.
Oh,
but like nothing else. Maybe I brought hockey gloves with me and a stick, but not, this is like,
yeah.
If you would have saw me on any given winter day that year,
yeah.
I was probably out on the street with said hockey stick and said hockey gloves and said hockey jersey playing hockey. So
yeah, you're like,
it was
no,
not
I'm
a
the
costume.
Mighty Ducks. I'm from the Mighty Ducks.
So I got so many dirty looks from like parents yeah. that year that I was like, I'm yeah. done. It's weird to have imposter syndrome on Halloween. Yeah.
I will say that I am very pro. This was something Stefan and I learned early on in our marriage. I am pro if a kid of any age shows up and says trick or treat without a costume, they get motherfucking candy because it's Halloween. Mm. You get some candy. I don't know. I don't know that kid's backstory. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But that kid just knocked on my door and said trick or treat. It is. And Stefan's like, no, no, there's an agreement. You come in costume and you get it. And I was like, you will give them more. Go find, because he turned that kid away. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he's like, go get a costume and come back. And I was like, we're in Brooklyn. And I was like, ooh, I turned around. I was like, what did you do? Who have I married? Oh, it's over. And, you know, you got to figure those things out. All right. Everybody, we're going to link you up to, where you can hear Neil from the last time he was on. But also, we're going to link you up specifically to one of his Ooh, You're in Trouble podcast. Be warned. It's scary, but you know your kids best if they can handle it. But we'll link you up to that special Halloween-y vibed Ooh, You're in Trouble episode, as well as where you can find out more about Neil. Neil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll have to talk about maybe mortifying, I don't know, Easter's next? What's
Easter's one of the most mortifying holidays. I have no idea. I'm Jewish.
Prom? Let's do prom. We've
I don't even have a yeah prom yes
prom.
Well come to me for prom
all right,
stories
we're gonna,
don't
we'll
even
see you back here for prom in which I was also dressed as Pat Benatar.
I'll just
right.
give you the I went with a blind date to the prom. That's all you need to know as a tease for the prom episode.
Oh my god, that's it. That's end it right there. Everybody, prepare for silence. One Bad Mother is supported in part by KiwiCo. KiwiCo goes hand in hand with creative fun. The long list of KiwiCo projects that have existed and still exist in this house. My children are still playing with the spin art, the make your own spin art machine out of the box that the kit came in. That is still here and still working. Learning, sneaky and fun. Scare up some fun this Halloween with KiwiCo. Redefine learning with play. Explore hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. And remember, a lot of these can be done by your child, depending on their age. Get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code BADMOTHER at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com, promo code BADMOTHER. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Dipsy. Turn down the lights. Get under the covers. No, it's not time for spooky stories. It is time for Dipsy. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories designed to turn you on. Guys, I love Dipsy. I love this app. If you need to wind down, Dipsy also has wellness sessions, sensual bedtime stories, and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/badmother. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/badmother. dipseastories.com/badmother.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius. Fail time. Genius, Mimi.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
All right, guys. As I've mentioned, we have finally gotten my parents out to Pasadena, and this is great. Any of you who have experienced something similar know that one of the biggest tasks is setting them up with new doctors and specialists and all that kind of stuff. So for the last couple of months, I've been working to try and get that set up. I did manage, and guess what? No one's taking new patients. It's really hard. Hello, COVID again. Very hard. Or you can't get an appointment until like December. Fair. I get it. So I did get my mom an appointment with an internist to sort of set up as their general physician. And they were with a network that is affiliated with the hospital. Okay. I was thinking, oh, I should find doctors that are affiliated with the hospital because, you know, my parents are in their 80s. And she went, I guess, a week and a half ago, she had the appointment. And the genius is when Papa called to say he had taken Mama to the ER at that hospital, all of her information was already in the system. It was there. So they didn't have to, like, you know, here's all my information. Here's my birthday. It's my, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. It was all there. I mean, by the skin of its teeth, had this happened like, oh, then like a 5-day difference, it wouldn't have been, but it was. And I felt really good about that. Really good about that.
Hi, this is a genius. Although it's almost bordered by a fail because I'm at a fair, a carnival with a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and only one other adult who joined us late. And anyway, they're on a ride. I'm calling because I'm eating French fries out of a cup. It's a kid's cup with a lid. I brought 4 of them. And when the French fries came in their overflowing basket, I transferred them into the cup. And now I have kids eating French fries, and I'm eating French fries, and they're not spilled all over the place, and I still push the stroller, and it's genius. And forever, I'm going to bring my own cups with lids to the fair. So I'm a genius. Wrapped it a fail, but I'm a genius.
Well, isn't that really the theme of parenting? A genius trapped in a fail? A genius hot dog in a failure bun, as it were. Now that is a new t-shirt. That just a hot dog in a bun, and it says parenting. Anyway, I think you're doing an amazing job, and it really is genius what you do. To bring snacking-sized cups when you go to a fair or a movie or some other place in which they serve oversized and everybody wants their own of that oversized. And that you brought yourself your own cup. Genius. 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 You're a genius. Failures.
Fail. 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 Fail.
You suck.
Fail Mimi. Okay. All right, guys. I said it right at the top of the show. I'm just going to go ahead and get this fail out of the way for the Halloween season and say that I was a sad mom witch and that I'm still sad about being that. I'm not even going to wait till after Halloween to be like, oh, my fail was I was a sad mom witch. I'm just going to sit in it right now, make peace with it. You know what? Maybe I need to make a shirt that says sad mom, hashtag sad mom witch. That's another shirt idea. Or maybe we'll just turn that into a hashtag, guys, and we'll just run around and post pictures of ourselves as sad mom witch at school drop-offs or at Halloween night or at parties, whatever. Parties? Do we go to parties? I don't know. Gabe's like, maybe a party. And I'm like, Gabe, it would be funny if you went a sad mom witch to party. Anyway, so I'm just embracing. I'm failing and embracing. So there you go.
Hi, I'm calling with a fail and a little warning. There is a tiny bit of barf involved. Today, I was making dinner with a 3-year-old, and there was something on his plate he said he didn't want, so I just popped it in my mouth. And then being 3, he decided that he actually did want it, and so I was like, well, buddy, I'm sorry, I ate it. Like, it's in my belly. What would you like me to do? And he said, you should stick your hand down and grab it. And so I did that thing where you, like, turn to the side and you put your hand in your mouth, but then you really, like, slide it down your face so it looks like it's going in your mouth. And it made him laugh, and it kind of diffused the situation, which was great. But then I turn around later and see him trying to reach into his own stomach. And I was like, well, all right, that's goofy, but, like, right, you know, whatever. He'll learn that that's not really something you can do, right? Except for then he burst up his whole dinner. So... whoops, I suck.
That was barely a barf story. Barely a barf story. Okay, I love you and your chat. I love that this is, again, is anybody keeping a running list of all the things that none of us expected would be part of parenting? Like, you ate it, yeah, and then they wanted it back. Absolutely right. And then you did the hilarious, like, I'm going to reach down my throat, watch my hand disappear. Yeah. Why would any of us think that the child would then actually think that they could show? And I also really applaud your parenting and that you were like, oh, well, buddy, you'll figure that out. That's not going to work. That was some smooth parenting. And then they puked. And I guess that was the fail. Trying to roll with it and trying to let a learning experience happen without there being a punishment of some kind, like puke. I got to tell you, you said you ate it. You ate whatever it was and you didn't even really look at it. And I really thought the story was going somewhere else. So, you know, different bars are set for each of us. But you're doing a horrible job being really great to your kid.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you, I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just got to share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us, which can now be found in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Robot Man, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you, always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kieran.
Oh, right, sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
You shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes, we've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
All right, everybody. It's that special time. It's time to listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Hi, this is a rant. There probably should be a prohibition on calling in rants before a certain time in the morning, but here I am anyway. I had to cancel my trip to my best friend from college's wedding last night, and I am just so sad. I thought there was that brief period where we thought everything would be fine. And I went to a wedding. There were no masks. Everything was fine back in June, and now I have to cancel plans to a wedding of someone who I really care about. That hurts so much. And I also left my coffee cup on my car this morning, and it fell off, and I look like that crazy person, you know, basically trying to put coffee back into the cup at like 6:30 in the morning. So, and I'm in the parking lot at work trying not to cry, and that's just how today's going to go. So this sucks, but you're all doing a good job.
You are doing an amazing job. And I'm so sorry about the wedding. That, I mean, it just, it really never ends. And I like the effects of this pandemic on our lives and where those moments arise that can cause grief in ways that we didn't expect. And we are like just programmed to be optimistic when it comes to these sorts of things, I think. I think if we don't have hope, if we don't have these moments of, well, by the time that wedding happens, I can absolutely go, we would all be the person with coffee cups on top of our car. So you set yourself up for the hope that this is going to work. And then when it doesn't, it's really hard. It really hurts. It hurts. And it's not fair. And everybody wants to like release their inner toddler and scream and yell and kick the floor and say, no fair, no fair, no fair. But we all are also not toddlers. And we've got to balance the safety of our own health and the safety of our family's health and the safety of our community when we make these decisions. And, you know, I think that's such an important, special, and uniquely, like, amazing gift that we have as humans, being able to care for others and to take responsibility for those around us. I think that's, like, such an amazingly beautiful part of us. At the same time, that doesn't erase how much it hurts that we can't, you know, do what we want. I mean, you know, I see you. And I love the people with the coffee cups on the car. I chased one down the other day because they were driving and I was like, yeah, yeah. And like, it was like four or five of us. It was like a four-way intersection. So four or five of us were like trying to honk to get this person's attention that they had the coffee cup on top of the car. I think they were high teens, if it was up to me. If you had to ask me, that's what I think it was. But anyway, and they finally stopped. We were all like, coffee cup on top. And they got it. I think coffee cups on top of the car are like the sticker windows. I think it just indicates where you are in your life, and that's okay. It's a badge to wear proudly, very proudly, just like crying in parking lots. It's like being in the hospital and like, don't look in the doors. Don't look in the rooms, except for the one room you're going to. Walking through parking lots, don't look in the car windows. You might catch somebody crying or breastfeeding or changing clothes for work, because I've done all three of those things. You are doing a remarkable job. There will be a chance to celebrate your friend's marriage in the future or in some way that is special to you. And you're doing a good job. Guys, from the beginning of our show to the end of our show, all the way through the show, you know, we're talking about expectations about school and our kids being where we think they're going to be when we need them to be, and then that getting turned on its head because of COVID, all the way to, you know, thinking that we could plan for future events and then discovering that maybe we can't right now. And that's going to come close to home for Halloween as well, right? Like, we're all going to have to make decisions around this time of year. That's a bummer, and that's no fun. And I just want to say, you know, there's still going to be plenty of candy, and that's really good. People are still going to make horrible choices with costumes, but hopefully from just an awkward standpoint and not a offensive standpoint. Let's all shoot for that as our goals. I do like that there are opportunities to have discussions around costumes like that. I like that we're a better society in which we question the choices that we made when we were kids and get to question them with our kids and make our kids and ourselves better critical thinkers when it comes to, you know, it's like being part of that community, being part of taking care of each other, whether that be with COVID restrictions or whether that be with being mindful of how our actions affect others. And, you know, costumes are a great place for that. It's no skin off my back to talk to my kids about why X, Y, or Z might not be like the best costume to have, even if it's just gray territory, right? Like, we can be more creative. Either way, if you don't know what to be, you can always fall back on Sad Mom Witch, even if you're a dad or a tween. Everybody, you're doing a great job, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Gabe Mara, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/join.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, not throw down mama blue. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, not throw down mama blue.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.